Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The great Raymond Ritter just gave us a stat. So this is something that's probably...
See if you can remember this. Go ahead.
It's the first time ever since they started keeping track. Was it 72?
I don't know. The early 70s?
I think he said 72. The year I was born. Where Warrior forwards had 22 assists? Starting forwards.
Yeah, it's the most that their starting forwards have ever had.
22. And when you look at the
combined
assist total...
I can't believe that. I would have thought maybe Bird had 16 and McHale 6 one game. Something like that.
This is just the Warriors.
It's Warriors.
Yeah.
Oh.
Not all time.
Oh. Is he still here? He didn't explain that right. I thought
well,
he meant
you were half listening.
I had my headphones.
We are in the Crown Royal Club, so he is what he is.
It's the first time the Warriors have had.
Yes.
Okay.
It's the most the Warriors starting forwards have ever had.
All right, gotcha.
39 assists tonight. It's the 27th time they've had 30 or more assists in a game. The next closest team has done it 8 times.
Gotcha.
Pretty amazing. So, JD, I know I got to see a little bit watching Comcast before we came on. You know, Steve Kerr, Draymond Green. Hey, great win against the Pistons. What about Monday against Cleveland? Everybody got that question.
Yeah, everybody got that question. And the question du jour was, is it more important to play well or do you have to win the game against the Cavs on Monday? And Steve Kerr and Draymond Green both said, well, it's more important to play well, though Draymond Green went as far as to say, if they play well, they'll win the game, and it won't be a moot point. He said there's not going to be any panic if the Warriors don't win, and I always go back to what Steve Kerr said last year about the Warriors sweeping the Cavs and blowing them out in the second game in Cleveland. That didn't matter once it got to Game 5, 6, and 7 of the NBA Finals. So if the Warriors should get beat, I think their mentality is, hey, it doesn't really matter.
When's the last time the Warriors can say, we played well and lost? They are the best team in the league, or the second best team in the league.
Maybe so Christmas Day.
They didn't play well.
No,
that
I don't
night.
Think either team played all that well. Maybe the Rockets game. I mean, no, you're. Yeah, they were coming.
Yeah, they were okay against the Rockets, but I mean, that's the thing. Teams that think they're the best team always think they control everything. I do believe, yeah, if they play well, they'll beat the Cavs, because I do think that talent wise, they're a small notch ahead of the Cavs, but the Cavs may have them right now psychologically.
Yeah, they may, and I think the Cavs may believe that coming in here, that they can, you know, if they can put it on the Warriors again, maybe it is something mental. I mean, the Warriors did everything, at least tonight, and I'm sure, you know, they're going to take tomorrow off, and they're going to practice Saturday, they're going to practice Sunday. And, you know, the Warriors haven't had 3 days off consecutively in quite some time. And, you know, Kevin Durant kind of joked that, you know, he's more excited about having a day off tomorrow than he is even about the game on Monday at this point, because those days off are so few and far between. And because, you know, January, for him, he said he didn't like January because there's a game every night and you're practicing.
That's 3 days off.
It gets redundant.
Yeah, but it's the first time. They haven't had three days off in a while.
Yeah, they haven't had 3 days off in a while. And
Towny, it's not like baseball where you can stand
you
out right field.
You have 3 days off before a big game on Martin Luther King Day where the entire league's going to be watching and you're just happy about a day off. I hate that crap.
That shows you how hard they work. They work so hard that when they get a day off,
had to play the full game again tonight, huh? You know who I'd like to go back and talk to? The teams that had the wars in the finals and each team got theirs would be guys who played for the Celtics and guys who played for the Lakers in the 80s, because they each got each other. So what was it like the year after you lost to the Lakers or the year after you lost to the Celtics, now that they've been away from it for so long, to actually – really come clean and tell you what it felt like? Because same thing, they were only going to play a couple times after you lost to one of them. What was it like the next year? It'd be interesting to talk to those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you look at it, and only they would know. I mean, honestly, and the Warriors and the Cavs have kind of built into that kind of rivalry. I think there's no doubt. Steve Kerr mentioned that after the game tonight, that it he feels that it's reached that pinnacle because both teams have won and because each team gets so excited, you know, for the matchup. So, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Look, well, everybody's going to be focused in on it.
And keep in mind, if the Warriors play the Cavs in the finals, it'll be the first time in NBA history that's ever happened, that the same two teams have played in three straight NBA finals. Never happened with the Lakers-Celtics. Never happened with the Celtics back in the day in the 60s. So
it's a heavyweight fight.
I mean, if they meet in the finals, you could say it's the greatest rivalry ever among finals teams. Now, I think there's bigger rivalries with teams that play each other all the time. You know, I think like the Sixers-Celtics was always a big rivalry, for example. But it's hard to have a rivalry when you only play each other twice a year.
That's what made.
But when you play three straight finals, you do.
That's what made Lakers-Celtics so unique. And it's kind of like if it happens again, it's kind of got that Ollie Frazier kind of
mm-hmm.
deal.
No, mm-hmm. definitely. And yeah, you go back and you look at the Lakers and Celtics, and what the Celtics won, then the Lakers won, and then the Celtics won again, but they didn't have to play
right.
the Lakers. They ended up playing the Rockets, and then the Lakers came back the next year and won two.
They beat the Celtics.
They
in
beat
87.
The Celtics again. They beat the Celtics again, and then beat the Pistons before the Pistons took off and won a couple of titles then. But, yeah, it was back and forth, and there were some other teams in the mix, like the Sixers. That's what made it, I think, a little more unique is there were other teams in the mix that could steal
in the
championship
East.
Here or there.
In the East.
Yeah, and, yeah, the Sixers among them. The Pistons were kind of on the brink. But, you know, today's day and age, it's those two.
Well, that's
maybe the Spurs, but it really is those two that can win it. I'm not sure there's another team that can actually win it.
You know what? It's not dissimilar from the Lakers-Celtics in this respect. Back in the 80s, the East was the powerful conference. You had the Celtics. You had the Sixers. The Bucks were very good. Mm-hmm. The Detroit Pistons started to come in the mid-80s to challenge, and the East was really good, and you had the Lakers waltzing to the finals essentially every year. And that's kind
like
of the way
the Suns.
Right. The Suns yeah. and the Dallas Mavericks yeah. one year they had and Nuggets. That's kind of the way it is this year, or this has been for the Cavs. The Cavs are in the East. They kind of get to waltz into the finals, whereas the Warriors are gonna have to beat the Spurs or the Rockets or Memphis. Who am I forgetting? Or maybe the Clippers. But, I mean, the Clippers are still better than anybody in the Eastern Conference. So, from that respect, it's kind of similar.
No, I tell you what, I'm excited for it. Now, you said something the last time that we were on that really just made me go, you got to be kidding me. What if they come in here and sit a bunch of guys? I mean.
They can't sit guys after 2 days off. Do you know if they play two? No, it's
no,
the
they
last
don't.
Game of the trip.
They play. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's their last game of the trip.
Right. Remember you mentioned that. I was like, oh, man.
Well, and the reason I mention it is just because of the psychological thing. If you're the Cavs and you know that you've beaten the Warriors four straight times, would you want to keep that psychological advantage? And maybe it's not an advantage. I mean, the Warriors would tell you that you're crazy if you
right.
think it's an advantage. The Warriors said tonight, you know, we lose a game, it's not going to be that big of a deal. But if you're the Cavs, would you want the lingering psychological advantage, and maybe it's nothing, that the Warriors haven't beat you since before Draymond Green got suspended, or hadn't beat you with everybody playing, since Draymond Green got suspended in the middle of the NBA Finals? I mean, you could carry that essentially all the way to June if those two teams play.
And you can see why this is a big game for Draymond because of what happened in the Finals. I mean, you can talk about the loss on Christmas Day, whatever, but that Finals has got to be something that still lingers in his mind.
It better.
I'd hate to see the fine for the Cavs if they just rested guys. I mean, it would. I don't think it'll. I mean, we're just having some fun. I mean, I don't think it would happen. I think, and if you look at the way the league put the schedule together, you know, the Cavs are in Sacramento tomorrow, so they're 90 miles down the road, and then they'll be able to get into the Bay Area tomorrow night real easily, and have a couple of days off. The Warriors are going to take a day off. They get 2 days of practice, so it's essentially 2 days of practice for each team heading into the game on Monday night. The league did both these teams well to try and make it as competitive a game as possible. So I think, I mean, that just adds to it.
It's going to be fun. It's going to going to be fun. Looking forward to seeing Korver, see what he does, see what he brings to this matchup. We talked about that a little before the game, JD. How much does Korver have left? What is he, 35?
Yeah, 30, going to be 36.
Going to be 36. I mean, this is the kind of thing, when you're the Cavs or the Warriors and you acquire a player, you're only acquiring them to win a game or two, to help you win a game or two, I should say. And if Korver helps the Cavs win a playoff game or two, and one of them's in the finals, then he's worth the acquisition.
I'm not sure how much he's got left, and that may be a bit of an overreaction just to watch it in his first couple of games with the Cavs, and the Cavs look tired. I mean, I know, Towny, you hate hearing that. They played at Utah and Portland, had a rough travel with the
Can
snow.
I just justify because
Towny, these are the dog
they look
days.
Can I just justify because Matt always wants to throw? I've also covered the NHL and the Sharks.
Sure.
Which that game is three times the brutality of the NBA, and they do not talk
actually. Do they keep those guys on the ice for like 2-3 minutes and then they got to come out?
They have a dentist.
You skate
they
for
have
2 minutes
a dentist who's at the arena
the
because guys have oral damage. These guys break legs and ankles.
Please.
See, this is the crap I got to hear,
you know,
around
what?
Here.
Zaza Pachulia would be fine. He'd be fine in ice hockey. I mean, what he did to Caldwell
I'm just going to say this. One of the most physical games were concussions, broken bones and everything. And they don't discuss the off days as much. And I think we all know how physical that game is.
It's incredibly physical.
Yes.
You're going to get no argument with me, you know, from me on that. There's no doubt about
but
it.
But keep in mind, when you hit somebody in hockey, because the guy you hit is on skates, the impact is less.
And you're falling on frozen ice?
Well, that's different if you fall, but you have pads. You have all kinds of pads. It's like if you get into a car accident on a slippery road, you're not going to damage the car as much.
Okay.
Just saying.
Yeah, I hear you. Thank God there's a lot of
you don't, what do you mean? You don't get that?
No, I get it.
Okay.
No, I get it. I get it.
So when you look at tonight's game, JD, one of the things that we talked about that was really interesting is Durant had 25, Steph had 24, and Klay had 23. To see just how even it continues to be between these guys.
Yeah, and Klay Thompson looked refreshed, I thought. Steve Kerr mentioned after the game that he thought he did. Klay Thompson said, you know, here's Klay Thompson. He says he gets asked, what did you do? How did you watch the game? Because he wasn't on the bench
right.
The other night. And this is classic
Don't
Klay
say
Thompson.
You didn't watch it.
No, classic Klay Thompson. He was here. He was in the arena.
Oh, okay.
But he said, well, I watched it with the video interns in the video room, and we were drinking Gatorade. Might not be Gatorade for Klay. I think he's somebody else as far as endorsement goes. But, he said they were drinking sports drink, watch. I mean, that's just Klay. He's watching the game with the video crew in the tape room.
That's funny. I wouldn't have thought he would have even been here.
Yeah.
I mean, a night off. It was an awful night.
Yeah.
I would have been on my coming. Interesting.
But he said he thought he was fresh as well. And he looked fresh. I mean, his shot looked good. 9 of 15, the 4 of 5 from 3, 23 points. I mean, it was – you know, Klay Thompson, he can be kind of a volume guy even when he's scoring.
Right.
Just even when he's hitting shots, it seems like his big games, he's shooting it a lot. Maybe gets to the free throw line a little bit less. But tonight was almost – it was almost Durant-like in his efficiency with the 9 of 15. And you look up at Durant, and he was one better at 10 of 15 for
wow.
his – 25 points, but yeah, they were all clicking, and it just seemed like it was only a matter of time.
Did anybody talk about Curry's first quarter with the 6 turnovers and then the 8 for the game, or did it kind of get lost because it didn't really hurt him?
No, I think it was lost in the 41-19, honestly, and
right.
even lost in the fact that you mentioned that first quarter and it's 37-30 at the end of the quarter, the Warriors are up, so. You know, I think when you're playing at that level and you're building a lead, I think a lot of those things just get kind of washed away. Though that's something you fast forward to a game like Monday, and you know, you obviously you do that against Cleveland, it's going to be trouble.
Right.
Well, last 7 games in the third quarter, they've averaged 32.1 versus the opposition 20.3. Has anybody said why they think they come out of the locker room and all of a sudden it's go time?
They just re-engage, refocus defensively, I think, and try and use the defense to turn it into offense. I think they are the just the quintessential team that when they lock in on D, it seems to just make everything else go, even if it's for 5-6 minutes at a time. They're a team that it almost seems like, you know, sometimes you can't tell. Is it the, you know, are they hitting shots and then they play harder on D? You know, some teams roll that way, or are they in a situation where they play so well defensively that it impacts the offense in a positive way? And I think with the Warriors, it's more about the defense. They get in kind of lockdown mode, the game gets a little faster, and the shots feel more in rhythm. And I think that's what happened in the third quarter.
I think there's a few things, but I think mainly what it is boredom is probably too strong a word, but there's a pacing going on with the Golden State Warriors. And when teams come in here, they probably get a little amped up. And so I think tonight's game, we've seen frequently 37-30 at the end of one quarter. We've seen that a million times. It should have been 31-30 or 34-30. We see a team hang in for a half, and then we see the Warriors take over, because it's like the Warriors, they're just out there playing for a half, and they get in the locker room and say, all right, now we got to let's get a little more serious. Let's play some defense, basically, is what it comes down to.
Yeah, you get to the locker room, it's 60-58, and I think, you know, Draymond or somebody will say, look, this isn't how we play.
Right.
Let's get out there and let's show them how – let's show the Pistons, who are a team that can struggle to score, that it's going to be a little harder than getting a light 58
and
in 24 minutes.
And this is where I do – like, I've said that I think last year's regular season affected them in the finals. And what I mean by that is they didn't have as many of these games last year. They would come out from the get-go. And I know they had some, but like during the winning streak, I mean, they were playing four quarters of real good basketball.
It'd be 41-19 in the first quarter
right,
a lot.
Right. And so they were wound up for a lot of the season. And I think this year they're more like a defending champion. Let's go out and let's play for a few months, and once January, February rolls around, we'll get a little more serious, and I think that's what happened. That's what's happening. It's just that they have so much talent, they're still 34-6.
Yeah, it's incredible. And you look, I know, Tana, you were mentioning the fact that it's going to be the halfway point of the season after the game on Monday, and all that's on the line is the difference between being a 68-win team or
right.
Or a 70-win team halfway as far as pace goes. I mean, this team's still right there. They get a win, and they're on pace to go 70-12. And it's just, you know, maybe the questions – if they have a long winning streak, maybe the questions start coming back about, you know, and they'll defuse it, and they'll say they aren't going for it. But, you know, what if they get on a 15-16 game winning streak?
You know what's funny is I don't see that happening. I remember we were talking.
They've actually been fortunate enough to avoid it.
Right.
Really, to this point.
I remember we were talking about things, you know, could they win 74? And you said the one thing that might be on the table is the 33-game winning streak.
I'm not so sure now.
Obviously, it'd be a safe bet to bet against it, but I don't know if they have a 15-18 game winning streak in them. What was their highest this year? They got the doubles at one point, but I don't know. It's just a different kind of year. They're a little less dominant than they were last year. Their defense is second in terms of ranking in the league when you adjust for pace, but does it feel like they're playing as good a defense as last year? It doesn't to me.
No, and the stretches where they're dominant, I think, are fewer and farther between also. I mean, even a game like tonight, it wasn't so much – it didn't feel like they locked the Pistons down. It just felt like they forced some missed shots, some turnovers. They got hot, and they had a great – they had a great quarter.
Yeah, they did.
On both ends.
They did.
Well, it was a great night for the Golden State Warriors as they took down the Detroit Pistons 127-107. Now 3 days off. We'll be back here on Monday, and I said this to Matt, and I'll say it to you, JD. No matter what happens, it's going to be an interesting post-game show for us.
Yeah, absolutely. The Warriors are either going to figure it out, at least in terms of the fan perspective, as to, you know, proving that they could beat the Cavaliers, which I think we all believe they can, or it's going to be a situation where if the Cavs come in and win it, and maybe there will be some legitimate doubt among the fans and how this team is talked about. I don't buy that there's doubt at this point in their locker room based on everything they had to say tonight and everything they've said leading up to this point as we look to the game on Monday.
All right, gentlemen, we'll see you Monday right here when we got the Cavs and the Golden State Warriors, and we have Fox Sports Radio. We'll take you the rest of the way for Joe, Lowe, and Dibs. Check them out 6 to 10 tomorrow morning right here on 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.